Proverbs chapter 24, verses 15 and verse 16. I've entitled this message, Encouragement for the Just Man. Encouragement for the Just Man. Last night we saw from God's Word the number of times our Lord expects and demands that we forgive a sinning brother. 70 times 7. And that doesn't mean 490, it means it's unlimited. We're to forgive every time we're trespassed against. And here's the question for tonight. How many times will our Lord forgive us? We need to revisit that number 7 again tonight. Peter asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Till 7 times? And the Lord said, 70 times 7. And that number 7 comes up again in our text tonight about how our Lord forgives us when we trespass against Him. And I pray this message is a great encouragement to your heart. I hope and pray with the Holy Spirit's help it's one you never forget. And I'd ask you to stand with me tonight in reverence to reading these two verses of Scripture, which are the Holy Word of God. Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And it's the first part of verse 16 that I want to focus in on. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. And Father, tonight I pray that You would help us to understand the reading of Your Word. We ask You for the aid and the assistance of Your own Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and quicken our minds. And quicken our hearts and help us to hear and help us to heed the Word of God. And may we directly apply it to our lives wherever we are tonight in our walk with You. I pray, God, that we would hear Your voice calling us to rise up and once again begin to follow our Master faithfully. May this message be an encouragement tonight to my dear brothers and sisters. It is in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Would you be seated, please? Tonight I just have a few simple truths. This may be the most simple message that I've ever preached in my ministry. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would use these simple truths to help you understand something of the extent of God's forgiveness of us. That was one of my points last night. The extent of forgiveness. The Lord says we're to forgive our brother that sins against us till 70 times 7. This is because we're to mirror and we're to reflect the heart of our God who always forgives us, limitless. His forgiveness of us has no limit. It has no bound. And that's because He's committed Himself to us through the person and the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I pray that this will be encouragement to you tonight as you consider God's forgiveness of you in Jesus Christ. Here's the first truth, and these build upon each other, and God help us to see the truth of this text. Truth number one, what a glorious truth. A man can be a just man. Look at the text again in verse 16. It simply says, for a just man. What glorious truth that God puts the word man and just in the same verse. This is the truth of the gospel, that a man can be a just man. The word just, tzaddik in the Hebrew, it means lawful. It means righteous. It means to have a right standing before holy God. It could be translated to be innocent or to be upright before God. The Scripture teaches us all through the Bible but particularly the book of Romans, that this is what theologians would call a declared righteousness. That is, God declares us to be righteous. That is, God the Father, through the work of God the Son, Jesus Christ, is able to count us lawful even though we're lawbreakers. Even though we've broken the holy law of God and deserve its penalty, the wages of our sin is death. But God is able through Christ, through the work of imputation, God is able to declare us in Jesus what we're not, and that is righteous. And this is the way Paul said it to the church at Corinth. God hath made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a divine trade. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him imputation, the iniquity of us all. And at conversion, what the Father does is he takes all of our sinfulness and he lays it on Christ. And he takes the full righteousness of Jesus Christ and he lays it upon us. God looks at Christ as if he were us, a sinner. And God looks at us as if we were Christ, and that is righteous. And this is the work of God counting a man to be a just man. Paul describes how the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us at conversion. He says in Titus chapter 3, after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul uses Abraham as an example of what this imputed righteousness looks like. The word imputation means to reckon or to count. It means to take something and place it on another person's account. Paul said of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, what shall we say of Abraham our father pertaining to the flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has something to glory of, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Listen to this. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was imputed. Abraham believed God, and God imputed that as righteousness to Abraham. God counted righteous to Abraham even though Abraham was a sinner, even though Abraham was a lawbreaker. God, because of his believing, counted him a righteous man. You see, you'll never be able to justify yourself through works. You'll never be able to justify yourself through good deeds. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31, you will be saved. Even though you deserve the wrath of God, God will pardon you and count you a just man. And you need to listen to me tonight. Those of you who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you who have repented and turned from your sins and have put all your trust in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the full and final payment for your sins. Those of you who have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Listen, you are a just man. In God's eyes, He sees you as innocent. God sees you as righteous. God sees you as just. And you have a right standing tonight before God because of the work of Jesus Christ in the atonement. Think about this, brothers. Think on this. Oh, the thought today that we can be completely right with God. We can have an innocent standing with the Lord, even though we've broken His law and deserve His judgment. We can be accepted in the Beloved today. What good news that a man can be a just man. If we stopped and pondered that tonight, we'd have no problem forgiving the brother that trespasses against us, because we understand that we're the recipients of God's imputed righteousness, something that we don't deserve. Here's the truth of the gospel. A man can be a just man. Isn't that good news? But let me show you the second truth. Are you listening? A man can be a just man and fall. Look at the text. For a just man, what? Falleth. Do you see that? For a just man falleth. A man can be a just man. What good news. But a man can be a just man and fall. The Hebrew word means to be overwhelmed and collapse. It means to be overcome of sin and fail. And the context bears this out. Look at it again in verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times. Here's a man who had the wicked come against him, and as the Holman Christian Standard says, laid an ambush against him. Here's a man who had his dwelling destroyed on account of the wicked. We don't know exactly what happened, but we do know this. Whatever the reason, the text clearly affirms that just men do fall. The truth of the gospel is you can be a just man. But the equal truth of the gospel is that just men do fall. And it means that oftentimes, sad but true, just men fall into sin. It's true. A just man can fall into sin. And any man or woman who says that they've not fallen and sinned since they were saved is a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. Every one of us who have been saved by Jesus Christ must humble ourselves this evening and admit that even since we've been saved, we have all fallen in sin. And that's why Jesus gave us verses like this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to believers. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. And so is this. He that covers his sin will not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them will have mercy. Proverbs 28, 13. You may be here tonight and say, Brother John, oh, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know for sure that I've been born again. I've been born from above. I've been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet you've fallen. You say, where does that leave me? God took this into account before the foundation of the world when He chose to save you. God chose to save you knowing you would fall. And He gave you verses like this to comfort you, to woo you back to Him. He's not saying it's okay. He's not saying it's no big deal. He gives you passages like this to remind you of His great love for you so that you'll come back. He draws you with cords of love to come out of that place you're in. If you've been saved, you're a just man. And this evening, if you've sinned and fallen, you're still a just man. One that needs to repent. One that agrees with God about his sin. One that agrees with God about his disobedience. And one who doesn't wallow in the mire, but rises up from that and commits again to follow Jesus Christ anew and afresh. Perhaps one of the best Old Testament and New Testament, because it's repeated in 2 Peter 2. Perhaps the best character that illustrates this truth is Brother Lot. And Peter uses Lot at the end of the Bible to prove this point that just men do fall. The Bible says that God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those who should afterwards live ungodly. Listen to this. And delivered just Lot. That doesn't mean he just delivered one man. It means he delivered Lot, who was a just man. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy manner of living of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Listen, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment to be punished. And that is exactly what this text is teaching. It is the exact same truth. Lot was a just man. Lot was a righteous man. He had had the righteousness of God imputed to his account, just like Uncle Abraham had. He was a godly man, it says. He was a righteous man dwelling among the wicked when he was in Sodom. And fallen brother, you're still the Lord's. He owns you. He knows exactly where you are. No matter the strange land that you may dwell in now, He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're involved in. And He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the wicked for punishment. And He sent you here this evening to hear this word, just man, come home. Just man, come out of your sin. Just man, come out of the place where you are and return unto Me, says the Lord. The truth of the gospel is that a man can be a just man. But the equal truth of the gospel is this: a man can be a just man and fall. How many times have we seen it? If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. The truth of the gospel and the truth of this text is this. Now hold on. A man can be a just man. Do you see that? A man can be a just man and fall. Number three. A man can be a just man and fall repeatedly. Look at the text again. For a just man falls how many times? Seven times. Now back to our numerology study last evening. Does seven mean seven? No. Every commentator that I read that's worth his salt on this said, as one author said, it is an indefinite number. It's kind of like that myriad idea we saw of the 10,000 talents. Same idea. A just man falls indefinite numbers of times. A man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. And a man can be a just man and fall repeatedly. Seven is the number of perfection often in the Bible. It speaks of, and by the way, these are present tense verbs. He falleth. Peter did it, didn't he? In one evening. He denied the Lord one time. He denied the Lord two times. He denied the Lord what? Three times in one evening. This just man fell multiple times. But he was still a disciple. He was still a follower of Jesus Christ. He was still a child of God, because we've got to get this through our thick skulls. It's not of you by which you're saved. It's of God. And it's not your performance that keeps you saved. It's the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The lie of Satan to defeat you is that you've sinned too much. You've sinned too many times. You've sinned too often to find your way back to Christ. I'm now beyond the grace of God. I'm now beyond the reach of Christ. I'm now beyond the love of God. There is no such thing for the child of God. A just man may fall. A just man may fall seven times. We see this all through the Scriptures. We see examples of it over and over and over again. And again, this is not to make light of sin. This is not to be trivial about sin. I'll tell you why. If you're a child of God and you sin, the disciplinary rod of God will fall in your life. And that's what this message is. This message is not to comfort you or console you in your sin. This message is a clarion call from God to get out of the pit and follow Jesus. This is a call to repentance. This is a call to obedience. Not a call to comfort you in recklessness and carelessness. Let the knowledge of this truth call you back to fervent love for Jesus Christ and sincere devotion to the One who suffered, bled, and died for you. And I want to say to the brother or the sister here tonight that's fallen, the brother or the sister here tonight that's fallen seven times, the good shepherd has left the 99 to come find you, the one lost sheep, and this evening he's found you, Matthew 18, 12 and 13. The Father has swept the floor and he's found his lost coin, Luke 15, verse 9. The Father has found the prodigal who wandered off, Luke 15, 24. And he's preparing the fatted calf, and he has a new ring, and he has a new coat, and he has a new pair of shoes, and he's going to drape them over you because he doesn't leave the just man in the pit. The fact that he has imputed the righteousness of his Son to us is guarantee that he will never leave us or forsake us. The truth of the Scripture is glorious truth, that a man can be a just man even though he's a sinner. Paul said this is a saying worthy of acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. A man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. And the truth, we've seen it sadly too many times, a man can be a just man and fall repeatedly. Truth number four. A man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. A man can be a just man and fall repeatedly, but here's his birthmark. Here's how we know he's a just man. Here's how we know he's a child of God. He will rise again. For a just man falleth seven times, and conjunction, what's your function? It joins these two thoughts together. They're seamless in the Word of God. Yes, a just man may fall and rise again. The way this reads in the original language goes something like this. Every time, whether it's seven, whether it's 70 times seven, that your brother sins against you, God expects you to forgive him, right? And equally true, every time you fall, every time you personally sin, whether it's seven times or 70 times seven times, every time you fall, for every fall of the child of God, there's a resurrection. For every fall for the child of God, there's a rising again. It's the nature of Christ. It's the nature of the perseverance of the saints. It's the nature of the love of God that He will not let us go. And brothers and sisters, this is the doctrine of eternal security. This is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. It's not your perseverance that keeps you saved. It's His relentless perseverance to come and get you and not leave you in the pit. But I tell you right now, without God, we'd be sunk. We don't have the determination. We don't have the drive to seek Him or to keep seeking Him. But thank God He has the drive to seek us even when we blow it. And man, you're looking at a guy that blows it. The truth of the gospel is that a man can be a just man. The equal truth of the gospel is a man can be a just man and fall. And sad but true, a man can be a just man and fall multiple times. But if he falls seven times or 70 times seven, if God would expect me, one of His redeemed creatures, to forgive you, one of His redeemed creatures, 70 times 7, don't you believe His character will be much greater than that? Is there a limit to God's forgiveness? Is there a point at which God says, I won't forgive one of my elect anymore? Is there a limit to which God says, I won't forgive one whom I foreknew before the foundation of the world? No, the fact that He foreknew me guarantees He's going to see me all the way through to the end. And nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Even if we fall seven times. Even if we fall seven times a day. He says, when we fall, we will rise up again. The beauty of this text is that for every fall, there's a rising up. For every fall, there's a rising up again. It means to be strengthened. It means to be established. It means to be stirred up. It means to succeed. Is the Word having that effect this afternoon? Is the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to stir you up? Maybe you've fallen. Maybe you've fallen multiple times. And let's be honest. The trajectory of our lives is when we fall to wallow in it. The trajectory of our lives is to feel sorry for ourselves. The trajectory of our lives when we fall into sin is to just play the martyr and just wallow in it and woe is me. But God sends the Spirit, God sends the Word to stir us up to rise up again and follow faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's stirring you, that's good evidence that you're His. If He's beckoning you, that's good evidence that you belong to Him. God disciplines those whom He loves. If we're without chastisement, we're not children. It's part of our birthmark that if we have fallen, it's a part of the DNA of our conversion. If we've fallen seven times, that for every fall, the Spirit comes. For every fall, discipline comes. For every fall, correction comes. From every call, the Holy Spirit comes to beckon us back, pull us back, not leave us there, but to bring us out of that pit and set our feet on a solid rock one more time. A man can be a just man. Thank God, it's imputed. It's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but by His grace that He saved me. A man can be truly born from above, truly born of the Spirit, truly known and foreknown by God before the foundation of the world, His name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the way, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life after you pray the sinner's prayer. It's written there before you're born. You just find out about it later. And it is our birthright and our DNA that once we've been born again, that we are children of God, that we are His from the foundation of the earth. He will never leave us. Joshua 1:4, Hebrews 13:5, He will never, ever, ever forsake us, it reads in the Greek. He will never, I say, never leave us or forsake us. A good friend of mine, country preacher, used to say, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. I know what he means. A man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. A man can be a just man and fall repeatedly, but he will rise up again. And here's the concluding truth. Just men are different from lost men. Let me be clear. Just men are different from lost men. Look at the text again. For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. Look at this. But the wicked fall into mischief. It doesn't say of the wicked, and they rise up again, does it? Does it say that? No, they just fall into mischief and they never come out of it. Because that's their DNA. That's who they are. The Father never comes looking for them. He never goes to find that lost one. He doesn't sweep the floor to find that one. The wicked fall into mischief. And that's all we ever hear of them. What a difference. Both sin. Both fall. But God, who knows, calls one of them just, and He calls the other one wicked. Rasha, condemned, evil, the enemy of God. I'm not the scholar that your pastor is, and I mean that. I'm not. But it is interesting to note, brother, and I'm not trying to make too much out of this, because I wouldn't believe that'd be the complete focus of this text, but I do believe it's interesting to note that for the just man, fall is singular, but for the wicked man, it's plural. And I believe the point of that is this. Just men can sin, and just men can fall, just like the wicked man. But when they do, something happens. When the just man falls, there's a limit. When the just man falls, he has a Father that contends with him. When the just man falls, he has a Holy Spirit that comes and rebukes him of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the just man falls, he has brothers and sisters that come and correct him. Like in the story last night, those brothers who saw him take his fellow servant and choke him. They came and told the church and he was dealt with. And so it is with the just man. When the just man sins, they've eaten seven times a day. For every time the Father disciplines him, every time the Father calls him to repentance, every time the Spirit is grieved within him. Let me tell you something. Look, when you sin, is the Spirit of God grieved inside of you? Man, I'm telling you, every time I sin, the Spirit of God is grieved. There's a heaviness. I know I've done wrong. I know I've stepped out of line. I know I've been unkind. I know I've been ungracious. I know I've been mean-spirited. I know that I've not been kind to my wife. I know that I've said words that I shouldn't have said. And that's usually what gets me into trouble. And I know that I've done things that I ought not to have done. And I know I've acted in ways that I ought not to have acted. Why? Because I'm a really good guy? No, because I have the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit who's grieved inside of me. And that's why the Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't try the Spirit of God. The wicked man doesn't have that. There's nothing to stop him from rushing headlong, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into depravity until he finally reaches the bottom of the pit, which we call hell, and meets holy God and faces the judgment and the wrath of God. What a difference. A wicked man can sin with no conscience of God. A wicked man can sin with no care for his soul. A wicked man can sin with absolutely no concern whatsoever of eternity. He's a wicked man, and it's nature to constantly live in disobedience to the law of God. But the just man, when he falls, it's different. His master contends with him, and his master pursues him, and his master irritates his soul until he comes to a point of agreement with his master, and then peace returns. Consider your being here tonight. I understand. And there's nothing wrong with families in our churches traveling. Whenever families in our church come tell me they're traveling, I rejoice with them. I want them to take vacations. I want them to take breaks. I encourage them to do that. But consider your being here tonight. There are a million places you could be, right? But you're here. Last time I checked, there's 66 books in the Bible. How many verses are contained within those 66 books? And these are the two out of all 66 books and out of all the verses in the Bible. These two verses, Proverbs 24, 15, and 16, are the two verses God called me and you to join together at this place on East Main Street to observe tonight. Of all the places we could be, and in all the books of the Bible we could study, and in the thousands upon thousands of verses we could look at, the Lord led us to these two. And that's because it's a divine appointment. God wanted you to hear these words. Just man, rise up again. I never will forget the night I was saved. The man who counseled with me warned me. And I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it. I guess the Spirit of God helped him to understand that I would need this one day, real quick. And he told me the night I was saved, he didn't say, if you sin. He said, young man, when you sin, now that you're saved, he said, when you sin, I want you to understand something. Confess it to God. Repent of it. Forsake it, don't wallow in it, quickly get up and begin to faithfully follow Jesus again. And those words have rung in my ears for now 32 years. And the same is true for you. Don't wallow in your sin. Don't accept it as normal. Don't say, oh, well, you know, even this text says everybody does it. That's not the point. The point is, you're God's. He owns you. You belong to Him. He has imputed the righteousness of His Son to you so that you wouldn't feel comfortable in Sodom. You wouldn't feel comfortable in the pig pen. You wouldn't feel comfortable in the strange land. And brothers and sisters, we will never have the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and our minds through our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're living in the strange land, if we're compromising with sin. The good news of the gospel is a man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. A man can be a just man and fall repeatedly. But for every fall, there's a rising up again. This is my guess, if I were a guessing man. My guess would be that last night's message is probably easier for you to accept than tonight's. And let me tell you why I believe that. We will accept the fact that God says to us, I expect you to forgive your brother. And we'll acknowledge that and say, I know that. But the person hardest for us to forgive sometimes is ourself. I blew it. I blew it bad. Christians shouldn't live this way. Christians shouldn't act this way. Christians shouldn't do this. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to give up. Let me tell you something I've learned about throwing in the towel. You can throw it in, but God's going to throw it right back at you. He will not allow you to throw in the towel. Not going to allow. You're His. He paid the price for you. He's put His Spirit inside of you. You got to forgive yourself. If you're expected to release your brother's debt, you've also got to release your own. Otherwise, you think your standards are higher than God's. You have to forgive yourself. Rise up 7 times for every fall, and once again, faithfully follow and obey the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Don't believe the lie that this is too bad. Don't believe the lie that you've blown it too bad. Yeah, but Brother John, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, and you don't have to tell me. But I know what He's done. We used to sing it, didn't we? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they'll be as white as wool. Though they were red like crimson, they'll be as white as snow. The one who has the power to forgive wants to forgive. He's a forgiver. It's His nature to forgive. You've got to accept that forgiveness. You've got to believe it. Trust Him. Just men and women, rise up and follow your Master. Forgive yourself as you forgive your brothers and your sisters. Amen? Father, thank You this evening that a man can be a just man. And even though a man is justified by Your grace, just men, they do still fall. And oftentimes they fall repeatedly. But the gospel of grace says, You enable them to rise up again. It's just impossible for one of Your children to remain in habitual sin. You just won't allow it. So tonight, Lord, I pray that wherever my brothers and sisters are, wherever this sermon may find them, I pray that they would turn their back on sin, turn their face toward Christ, rise up from the ashes, stop wallowing in it, and begin once again to follow their blessed head, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, honor, power, and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.